Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to focus on that first half. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm preaching tonight on regaining your vision. Regaining your vision. We're talking revival now. And we need in revival to be stirred to our depth again in the area of vision. God wants to use us. Help. May God help us in this meeting to be stirred. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, all over this building there are Christian workers and parents and students and those who minister in the local church. And Father, you didn't just put us here to mark time or to go through motions. You put us here to have a vision for what we're doing. And I pray, Lord, that you'll stir us to the depth tonight. I pray, oh God, that we'll leave here with fresh vision for our ministries, for our families, for what we're doing, for vocational choices. Help us, Heavenly Father, in this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Tonight we're looking at regaining your vision. Many have started with clear and detailed vision, but today it's dimmed down to just a little peephole, and those around you are perishing because your vision isn't what it used to be, what it could be. And yet, it's still true that without a vision, those under you will perish. You have to regain your vision tonight. About 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year, they established their own town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road, and they have vision to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. Who needed to go into the wilderness anyway? Here were people who had the vision, think about it, to travel 3,000 miles across the ocean, overcome great hardships to get there, but in just a few years, they were not able to even see 5 miles out of town. They had lost their vision for that, and so they lost the pioneering vision. With a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, no ocean of difficulty is too great. No, nothing is too great for us if we have a clear vision. But without it, we rarely move beyond our current boundaries. I want to give you tonight a number of things. Number one, first, the definition of vision, what we're talking about. Get a handle on what we're talking about. The word vision has different meanings in Scripture. One of them is the most prevalent is that it's a picture or a message from the Lord. It was often seen while they were in a trance. The second definition in other verses, the word means to have a dream or a goal or insight from the Lord. One writer put this last definition this way. Vision is the ability to understand history, the present condition, and the potential of the church, and to conceive a plan of action that will maximize your ministry potential. More often than not, the vision is a result, he said, of having spent much time absorbing the facts about your community, knowing the resources upon which the church can call, such as people and finance and facilities and equipment and so forth, and devising a sound but creative strategy for moving forward. Vision always entails progress. It's going forward. It's never satisfied with the status quo, the way things are. We want to reach more. Listen, you're in a community where people are going to hell. and they're going to go to hell unless somebody tells them. Who in this community is going to tell them? Right here, I'm looking at some of the people who could go and tell them. And so we ought to have vision. We ought to regain our vision. I'm questioning you tonight. Do you have vision? Vision for your family, vision for your work, for your ministry, yea, for your church, for your life. Do you have a vision? Number two, turn to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. We've got an idea now of what we're talking about with vision, to have a dream or goal or an insight from the Lord. But in Daniel chapter 8, I propose to you that there are four things that we ought to do with vision. We ought to do with vision. Number one, we ought to see the vision. We ought to see the vision. That is, get it. Get a vision. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Notice, he saw the vision and sought for meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. So he saw a vision. It says it again in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 7 in the scriptures there. And I, Daniel, alone saw what? The vision. He saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. And that's sometimes the case. But a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. But Daniel saw the vision. Let God give you a vision of how he can use you. First, you must see the vision of what could be. What could be. Then you must consider the vision. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, Daniel 9, 23, please. Not far from the last verse. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Consider it. Think on it. Meditate. Chew it over. What it entails. Rehearse the vision that you saw that God gave you. Rehearse it. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, there he's considering the vision that he had. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, as he was considering the vision. So first we need to get alone with God and see what God wants, and then take time to think on that which you believe that God's given you. Number three, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. We need to understand what the vision means. Understand what it means. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. What could be? Think about it. Get an understanding of the vision God gives you of what could be, how it all could work. Think about these things. What will it take to accomplish it? I mean, sit down and think about the vision that God's given to you and meditate on it and then understand it. And finally, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28. Go there, please. Jeremiah 23, 28. The Bible says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Notice, if he has a dream, he ought to tell the dream. So you see the vision first, you consider the vision, you understand the vision, and you tell it. Others ought to know about your vision. I'm not talking about a trance now that you've had, but the dreams and the goals that you believe that God has impressed you with, you've got to share it. You've got to tell it. A preacher's got to tell it to his people. And the parents have to tell it to their children. And the Sunday school teachers got to tell it to their class. And on it goes. We need to tell our vision. That's why we instruct those whom God has called into the ministry to tell your vision to others. You say, well, that's putting me out on an island. Exactly. That's right. You went to camp. You were in a church service like this one, a revival, and you surrendered to do the will of God, and God impressed you that he wanted you, young man, to preach the word. Tell somebody about that. God may impress somebody to be a missionary here. Tell somebody about that, or be a pastor. Tell somebody about that. Whatever it is that God's led you to do, tell someone and chart your course in the direction to get it done. Honor be to God. All right, number three, who is it that needs to get a fresh vision? Now, tonight I only have 3 points. This is number three. I have 75 subsections to this, but no, I'm just teasing. But I do have a number of subsections. Who is it that needs fresh vision? First, the pastors. Pastors. They are the spiritual leaders. They're on the front lines. God's people follow them. We see most of the Old Testament prophets in the Old Testament each get a vision of what God wanted them to do and what God wanted them to say. We see Paul have a vision of what he should do in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. We see later he had a vision to come over to Macedonia, and the Bible says he had a vision, and that's in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. God spoke to him again in Corinth not to fear, and that's in 18 verses 9 and 10. And so God spoke to Paul. Ananias had a vision of what he should do in Acts 9 and verse 12. Cornelius had a vision of God's will in Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. Peter had a vision regarding the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 verses 9 through 18. John had a detailed vision of the end time while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and the whole book of Revelation is evidence of it. Pastors must have a vision for what God wants their church to become and how to get there. When I went to Brogue, Pennsylvania in 1990, the local auction was 1 mile away from our church. And it met every Wednesday night, and it still does. I had to drive past that thing every Wednesday night on my way to church. Well, when I got there, we had about maybe 60 in church on Wednesday night, and their parking lot was overflowing. I mean, great big parking lot, and they had people parked out in the road and everything else. And I thought, my soul, this is upside down. This needs to change. And right there, I mean, like God set a fire under me. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to live to see the day that we have more cars in the parking lot and more people at church on Wednesday night than they do in their sale. And so their auction, and so I was exercised. We started to train believers to value Wednesday midweek service. I preached on it on Sunday mornings. Get that Sunday morning crowd out on Sunday night. Get that Sunday night crowd out on Wednesday night. And I would preach it. People would come under conviction, make decisions, and start coming. And we'd start to have children's choir on Wednesday night. And we had children's program and youth program and other things going on Wednesday night. And when I left, and it's better than it was then today, but we averaged near 200 in a town of 2,000 on Wednesday night. Wednesday night. The overflow parking, we had to build extra parking for all the cars. I love that. Most of the crowd on Sunday night returns on Wednesday night. Brethren, our eyes need to be open that God placed us in our community to make a difference, not to mark time. We are not just here having a church. It's much more than that. There must be a vision, and if we don't have it, the scripture says the people are going to perish. So we must have this vision. As our ministry continued, God gave me fresh vision for new ministries or outreaches. I got a vision of planting churches around us. And so we planted two churches. Each one today runs around 200, and they're sticking by the stuff, by the way. Our church just planted a third one in York, Pennsylvania, and in April, and I got a vision to plant churches. Glory to God. Now, you got to have some people to plant churches because, number one, you got to give away people for that new church to start. Number two, you got to have workers in your church that go out and help them get their church started. So as your church is growing, churches are growing, well, you can start to think about this matter of planting churches, and I encourage you in it. Where are these churches going to come from? If you look in the scriptures, they come from churches. Churches beget churches, and churches have to start churches. And so I encourage you in that. Also, I got a vision for our own camp, to have our own camp. Send our kids down to camp halfway across the country, get down there, and dress code isn't met, the music code's wrong, one thing after another, and all the travel, and we'd had a couple of accidents with our youth, car accidents, and I was just sick of sending them so far away. So we started our own camp. Today that camp has 130 campers from 10 or more churches. I think we had 12 churches last year, and about 70 workers. Our people take off vacation time for the camp. Honor be to God. Get a vision for something that'll change people's lives. I got a vision for a Bible Institute. Today, Fairhaven Baptist College that we represent offers courses online. You can go online and take courses. And that's another way to have it. But I love the Bible Institute concept. Here's how God led me. Each fall, I got alone with God for fresh vision for the new year. In October, a three-day staff meeting, I'd review what God had given to me, and my pastoral staff would share their fresh ideas with me. And in January, I would preach on vision. I mean, we'd have things like, okay, this year we're going to have a meal for the first responders. And we're going to go down, we sign somebody to take the bull by the horns, go down, talk to the police office, and find out when would be a good time to bring a meal in, set it up ahead of time. We take a meal in, and we take gift bags to all of our first responders. Amen. They loved it. I mean, they loved it. We had our young people sing for them while they were eating their meal, and then they had a bag we gave them, and it had a track and CD in it and a gift from our youth to them, and a note from one of our young people to them. And we had special prayer over that and over those folks. Just stuff like that. One year we wrote to all the guys that were in Iraq from our county. And we got the names of everybody, the soldiers in Iraq, and we sent them a care package from Mount Zion. Again, it had a New Testament in it, and a tract, a note, and all kinds of different little gifts for them. Preachers have to get a vision and seek God about how to get it done and implement it. Now listen to me carefully, and I'm not picking on your preacher. I'm just preaching about the whole matter here, not necessarily these preachers who are here, but too many preachers are just letting it come to them. They're not hyper-Calvinists, but they operate like it. If God wants it, he'll do it. Oh, they put in their time, they have visitation and preaching. I don't mean that. But in the area of vision, when you ask them where they're headed, you get some kind of a vague answer. Well, we're being faithful. We're trying to be faithful. Man, I can see what God can do at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I mean, I look at this place and the building and the location and what you have here, and I'm saying to myself, man, this thing is going to break wide open. And it will, if the people here have the vision to go with what God has given you, this thing could grow and grow big. I can see it. We have to be men who see what nobody else can see. And that's what it's all about. Not only preachers have to regain their vision periodically, and of course I did too, but Christians all need to get a vision to live the Christian life. Christians, I'm talking about a plan for personal growth. Failing to plan means that you're planning to fail. The opposite of operating by vision is just let her drive. I'm just going to let her drive. And some Christians don't have a vision of growth in God's word. Maybe someone here doesn't have a vision of growth. You'll get whatever the preacher preaches if you listen well enough, but you don't have any plan for yourself to grow. It's like you never sit down, maybe one time a week, sit down and read the blessed book. We not only should be reading it, we ought to be reading it daily. We shouldn't just be reading it, we ought to be studying it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman, it takes work to dig it out, and we ought to be involved in that. Every Christian. Where's the vision? That's what I'm asking. Where's the vision for the Christian? You take what you get without any voracious hunger to learn more. Brother and sister, we need to get more serious about this matter of loving the book, of dwelling in the book, of getting in the book and study. Right now I'm studying about Elijah and I'm Elisha. And I'm all excited because I want to do, it's just in my heart, I want to do a chart of comparison between Elijah and Elisha. Oh, brother, I got a help that'll help you with that. I don't want to help. I want to go in the Bible myself. I want to see it for myself. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'm 66 and hungry. And sometimes, I know it's crazy. I don't feel like it here, but in some churches I feel like there's nobody else that's hungry. I know there's folks here that are hungry. Bring a notebook to preaching, teaching. Take notes. Get serious about learning. I have a $9.99 black lined notebook from Staples. You don't have Staples. Office Max. And I still want to learn, and I want to remember what I learned that God gives me through messages that I hear. Some don't have a vision of reaching others for Christ. Some Christians don't have a vision of Bible reading and prayer. They don't have a vision for stewardship giving. They just are letting it drive. Tonight, I'm challenging you to regain your vision. Good night. This is a great life that we have, that God has given us. We ought to have vision that others will get the same thing that we have. Who is it that needs fresh vision? Not just the preachers, not just Christians in the church, but parents. Train up your child is still in the Bible. Get a vision for your children and set goals for their training, their education. Dad, get alone with God and set goals of what you want them to learn while they're still in your house. Chart it out. Figure out how many years you've got left with them, and here's the truths that I want to reemphasize or that I want to get to them before they get out, and get it to them. Train them. Train them. That's what it says. Get a plan of when to implement it and get started with your family devotions. Jochebed had a vision for her child, Moses. She wasn't going to let the king kill him. And she got the Ark of the Bulrushes and pitched it within and without and put it in the water and saved his life. And look at how God used Moses. Get a vision. Isaac and Rebecca had a vision for Jacob's wife. Think about this now. They were displeased with Esau's choices. They saw what happened there, and they weren't happy about that. Laban had a vision for his daughter's husband. Jairus had a vision for his daughter's healing. Job had a vision for his 10 children, interceded for them. Too often, Christian parents are just letting their children grow up without much parental direction or vision for them. We're missing it. Train them in choosing the right partner. Transfer your vision to them. Counsel them regarding vocation and training and marriage and ministry. I talk to each of our children like this. Can you imagine the day, kids, when all of us, all of you are grown and you're married and we get together as a family and everybody is saved and in a fundamental Baptist church? Can you imagine that day? I had a vision of that. That's what I wanted for all of my children. I told the vision to them and got them stirred up about it. Our family fellowships, I told them, will be about the good things of God. We'll be able to share everything because we're all on the same page. None of us backslid. All of us walking with God. All of us involved in God's work. It'll be sweet. Can't you see it? I mean, do you see how this can work? This will be wonderful. We dream together. Now we have it. Now they're grown. Now they're out of the house. And I told the vision, and now we're living the vision. Oh, I want that for every family. I just have a heart. I want that for your family. I want that when your kids grow up, they're all coming back around you, and they love you, and they just about do anything for you, and you have a sweetness, and they're all on the same page, and they're all holding the standard, and they're preaching the word or teaching the word. Amen. My son's our pastor. My daughter's in the Philippines as a missionary, her and her husband and children. My other daughter's in northern Pennsylvania, and their youth, her and her husband are youth leaders in their independent Baptist church. What's your goals? What's your vision for your children? Just because you have a vision doesn't mean it's going to happen. You got to do some training to get them there. And I entreat you tonight to regain your vision. Are you interceding for who your children will marry? Are you doing that? Your grandchildren, are you interceding for them? I'm talking about parents of preteens and teenagers. Shirley and I started interceding to God for their partners consistently from the time our kids were 8 years old. From the time I was crying out to God, God, I don't want to raise my kids and they get the wrong partner. And it leads them the wrong way. God, don't let them get a wrong partner. God, pick somebody out right now and have them all lined up when the day comes. And I was crying out to God. I was dead in earnest. So was Shirley. We hadn't had a vision. We discussed the vision with them. If we hadn't had a vision, our children would have perished. We discussed the process of how it would work. And in prayer, we surrendered them to the Lord's work. We never badmouthed the ministry or God's people. We never let on if there's a problem. I think parents talk too much today. I think parents are complaining about they don't have money for this and that, and the poor little kids this age is all worried about the finances in the home. That should never be. You keep that to yourself and deal with it. But don't foster that on your children. We never badmouth the ministry, God's people, to our children. We build up what a privilege it was to be in the position to help people. Some folks say, "Preacher, what's in front of my kids? What's it like to live in a glass house?" I said, "It's wonderful. Got to keep the windows clean." But we got their heart, and always took time to listen to them. Some, our kids went away to college. Well, they went away in a different time zone. So now when they're ready to talk at 10:30 at night, it's 11:30 at night my time. I am pooped. I've had a full day. They call, and I put on like I was just as fresh as could be. Hey, it's great to hear your voice. I sounded young on the phone. I faked it all the way through. 4 years of college with this one, and that one graduated, and I got four more from somebody else. And so we talked, and they checked in with us on everything. Parents, how are you doing in casting the vision for your children, your dreams for them? How are you doing in training? Do you have their heart? Regain that vision tonight. You disciplining still? Still disciplining? Or you follow Dr. Spock and you just, you know, no. There's still spanking in the Bible. You got to do it properly, but they're still there. Who is it that needs a vision? I'll tell you who it is. It's students. Students need a vision. Right now, not only are a lot of missionaries retiring, but also a lot of pastors and evangelists are retiring. And I'm burdened to see young men surrender to the gospel preaching ministry. I have a vision to see hundreds surrender. In the course of my ministry, however long it lasts, may God bring hundreds of young men to say, I surrender. God, you want to make me a preacher? I'll be a preacher. We need preachers, and I know God, and I know the Bible, and I'm getting training, and I will be that man. I am praying for hundreds to surrender, and God gave me that vision, that burden. About 18 months ago, we've already seen 15 to 20 surrender in the brief time that we've had to be able to preach on it. But I'm wondering just how spiritual our young Christians are who are coming up. How really spiritual are they? How serious about doing the will of God? Excuse me. Some students go through 4 years of high school without much thought or prayer or counsel about what to do upon graduation. Bingo! Graduation's here and they don't have a clue what they're doing. Could I ask you, when are you going to get serious about what God wants you to do? When's that going to happen? I mean, a lot of us are waiting. We're waiting to see and hear how God is working in your life. When will you get so serious that you will fast and pray about the will of God for your life, young person? I'm talking about teenagers now. Listen, I grew up in a new evangelical church. My church, I never heard one message on fasting. Not one. I grew up in that church, but I read the Bible. When I was 8 years old, I almost read the Bible clear through. But I read the Bible, and I had a walk with God. And that Bible said, well, they fasted. Well, I decided, you know, I'm going to look in the back of the Bible and see if that's in the Bible all throughout or where. Well, I found out there's 40 instances in the Bible of people fasting. I did my own study. As a teenager, I started to fast and pray because I heard what Jesus said, that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. If you want to see a prayer answered, you get dead in earnest and go without some food and pray in the place of eating. And every time you have a hunger pang that day, as you're fasting and praying, whether it's a meal or two meals or a whole day, whatever it is, every time you have a hunger pang, I've been taught that that is a reminder to pray again for what your purpose is. So fast and pray. As a teenager, again, going to the public school, new evangelical church, my mother, father was lost. My mother went to church sporadically, but I read about fasting, so I tried it. My daddy was lost. I didn't want my daddy to be lost. I want my daddy to go to heaven. So I started fasting and praying for my daddy. Guess what? He's in heaven today. Honor be to God. God will honor his word. When I had opportunities, every single time God opened the door for opportunities or closed the door, we went to the Lord in fasting and prayer. And you can do the same. I had workers when I was a teenager at the factory that I worked at. And they were wicked people. They talked about it all the time. And I was trying to get a word in of testimony. And I would fast and pray for their souls that I might be able to witness to those people. Good night. I want to know, where are the teenagers that stand up, say, bless God, I'm going to start activating this Bible. It's not a Bible just to read. It's a Bible to live. Go by the Bible. Stir your heart tonight. Regain the vision. When will you care enough to spend more than a minute a day praying about the will of God? I mean, when is it that you're going to get serious about this thing and start pouring your heart out to God? I mean, go out, walk around the church building, or walk around your house, and just talk, look up in the sky and talk to God. My, my, my. Too many are just putting in time to pass their course. It's not about passing the course. It's about getting the information in that course that God may make you more effective for him. You'll work harder in your course if you take that kind of an attitude. Glory. Some coast through high school, college, without direction. Graduate. Education majors graduate. Good night. They've been given the world to be able to get an education today, and they don't even know if they want to teach. People given to missions, and they major in missions, and they come out and they have no direction because they've never gotten alone with God to get the direction they ought to have to know what to do with the missions. I'm saying we need to get alone with God. Daddy can't call us. When we start to get a little older, we need to walk with God our own. When I had an inkling of what God wanted to radically change my ministry from being a pastor, 23 years, I had security. Our church loved us. We had a good relationship. We were well taken care of. And to give up our security, sell our 2,800 square foot house that was free and clear, and get a motorhome and go on the road as an evangelist. Shirley and I prayed and fasted. That's all I know to do. That's what God said to do. We sought God to know whether or not to do it. We read 30 books on motorhome living, and I read books on being an evangelist, and we charted out, I did a Bible study on the evangelist in the Bible. We charted out a plan with a checklist. I told the young people the other night of what needed to be done month by month by month, every month before we ever launched out, and then we headed in that direction. Some young person needs to start getting serious about finding out the will of God tonight. Regain the vision. Maybe there's a young man here tonight who needs to surrender to be a preacher. I don't know. If so, at the invitation, you come and you pour out your heart to God and give yourself to him, and then tell your preacher about it. I read a story that illustrates the importance of vision. It started like so many evenings. Mom and Dad at home and Jimmy playing after dinner. Mom and Dad were absorbed with their jobs and didn't notice the time. It was a full moon that night, and some of the light seeped in through the windows. Then Mom glanced at the clock. Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Go up now, and I'll come up and settle you in later. Unlike the usual, Jimmy went straight upstairs to his room. He obeyed quickly. An hour or so later, his mother came up to check to see if all was well. And to her astonishment, she found her son was staring quietly out his window at the moonlit scenery. "What are you doing?" "I'm looking at the moon, Mommy." "Well, it's time to go to bed now." As one reluctant boy settled down, he said, "Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on that moon." Who would have known that that boy, in whom the dream was planted that night, would survive a near-fatal motorcycle accident, which broke almost every bone in his body, and would bring to fruition his dream 32 years later when James Irwin stepped on the moon's surface. Just one of 12 representatives of the human race who have ever done that. But he had a vision. He had a dream. Don't squelch your child's dream. I mean, get right in there and talk to them about it. And young people, if you have a dream, you prepare for that dream. I want to say something to you. And you get this and get it right. You have a brain tumor. You want to go to a doctor who said, listen, I wanna operate on you and we'll get that brain tumor. Doc, what are your qualifications? Oh, well, I read a few books on the brain, and I have been hanging around hospitals for quite a little bit. And is that who you want to operate on your brain? I don't think so. I think you want somebody better trained than that. And being a preacher is higher than being a brain surgeon. We need training, and young people need training. Finally, I'll give you these last two. Who needs a fresh vision? It's the teachers, Sunday school teachers. They need a vision of every student understanding the material. Teachers, are you praying over every one of your students by name? That's the way we were trained. Get a burden for the ones that you're training. Sunday school teachers need a vision of a full class and then make plans to accomplish it. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to Sunday school teachers really caring enough to go about building their class? You know how a church grows? Everybody gets busy about building whatever they're involved in. Every Sunday school teacher wants to try to motivate their students to invite their friends and ask them for their names and addresses of their friends so they can make calls and visits and send cards to invite them to come. Ask other people in the church for kids of the age group that you teach and build your class. Not just show up, say, well, I'll take whoever I get. No, you want to grow. Anything that's alive grows. And so grow your class. Bus workers. I'm a bus kid. I told you my father was lost. My mother only went to church once in a while. From 1954 till 1967, I rode bus to church. And then when I got old enough, I could walk. It was 10 blocks away, and I could walk to church. But I still rode the bus on Sunday morning. So I'm a bus kid. We started a bus ministry after attending a bus conference. At the conference, we learned several principles of bus ministry. You must visit on Saturday. There's a big drop-off in your success rate and your results when you visit on a different day. Visit on Saturday. Number two, you must visit all your regulars every week and then knock on new prospects' doors if you want your regulars to be faithful. For every hour of visitation over a long period of time, you'll get 10 riders. So if you visit 5 hours a week over a period of time, you'll get 50 riders. Number four, be ready to give your bus riders a gift or a motivation. Keep a goal in front of them. Number five, develop a bus program on the way to and from church, after church, that includes a song, a Bible memory, maybe prizes for a quiet seat, or a sermonette and a sermonette lesson of some sort. Number six, don't be satisfied until you're averaging at least 40 on a 66-passenger bus. Shirley and I came back from the conference it's a conference. We got all motivated. And so we went out the first week and we put in 4 hours of visitation. How many people should we have ride the bus? 40 over a period of time, and that's the key phrase. We had some promises, but we had two riders that Sunday. We're a little discouraged. But we had training, and we had a vision. And we were going to activate that vision, and we kept going out. The next week we had 4. And the next week after that we had 7. And then 11. It's not going as fast as we thought it would. Then 18. Within 6 months, we were visiting 6 hours a week every Saturday, and we were running an average of 50 on our bus. Man, we were in hog heaven. We were having a blast with our bus ministry. We added 2 other groups and 2 helpers in each group, and we ballooned to 75 on our bus, 66-passenger bus, back in the day when you could get away with that. We added another bus to our route, and we had a high of 125 on our 2 buses. It does work. Got to have the workers, and you have to be careful how fast you go with it, because you don't, until you get the workers. But you can fill your buses. You can fill your class. And the psalmist said, I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Elijah could see what his servant could not see. That's who we have to be, the one who can see it. We have the vision, and sometimes we need to regain that vision. Abraham looked for a city. He was striving to see, don't you see? Noah was warned by God of things not seen as yet in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. We need a vision to revitalize our ministries and our churches and our families, and maybe cut out some of the activities that don't help us to reach our mission and our vision. I close with this illustration tonight. A number of years ago, a noted artist was working on a great mural, and this was to be the great work of art which he intended to be the masterpiece of his life. He had erected a scaffold and was standing up on top of the scaffold and putting the background into the picture. A friend suddenly came into the studio and stood quietly in the rear of the room looking at the work. The artist was slapping on gray tones as the background and deep blues across the canvas for the background. Then he wished to view his work from a better perspective, so he descended the ladder and, stepping back with his eyes on the canvas, he backed right into his friend without seeing him. Enthusiastically, the artist said, "This is going to be the masterpiece of my life. What do you think? Isn't it grand?" And his friend replied, "Well, to tell you the truth, all I see is a great dull daub up on the ceiling." Then the artist said, "Oh, I forgot. When you look at the picture, you only see what is there. Now, whenever I look at it, I see what is going to be there." Ooh, I like that. Brethren, are you satisfied with the same old, in your church, in your home, in your class, on your bus, in your personal growth? Just the same old? Where are you headed? If you aren't sure, your vision is obscured, and you need to regain it tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed now. You've been a great audience to preach to tonight. You've listened intently and on purpose. Don't give up now, and don't go to sleep now. How is it with you, Christian? Do you have the vision to grow? Are you seriously taking steps to help you grow? Are you hungry for God's word? How is it, student? Do you have the vision to see what God wants to do with your training? Are you seeking the will of God? Mom and dad, how bright is your vision for your children? Are you still training? Are you still in there? I mean, maybe you need some fresh vision tonight. Are you communicating your vision to your children? Teacher, bus captain, what is your vision for your class? I mean, how is your prayer life for those entrusted to you? Do you have vision for growth? What are you doing to accomplish that vision? Preacher, has your vision been locked up lately? Would you be honest before God that you need to get alone with Him and get some fresh vision for your ministry? Honor be to our God. Let's pray first. And then as the musicians begin to play, I invite you to come and start to refresh your vision tonight.